circumstance. Yeah, you're welcome to a new show, a new day, a new time. I'm supposed to do introductions and everything, but I am not saying I'm not capable of doing that, but I've gone into a point in my life where I'd rather just sit down and not rant, but literally proclaim what's really going on in my day to day. And yeah, so I am in a workstation, and I've been back in Lagos for a year and a half now, after nomading my half of my life, and it's been good. It's been good, but at the same time, it's been shady. And I think there was a lot I was chasing that was becoming unreal to me. And I've decided to just start sharing it out, because I know I've been giving you guys content for close to 2 years now. And I watch my followers drop, and I know people have been wondering, oh, Bali, what's going on in your life? Are you sad? Are you that sad? What's going on, you know? To my friends in Ghana, to my friends in Senegal, to my friends in the US, to my friends in South Africa, to my friends in England. Yeah, long live the king. to the people I never expected to become family in a short time, I want to say thank you for your patience. And I never thought I would come back to podcasting, because I have been a hysterical mess. However, reality sends human beings to give you that minor wake-up call. Plus, the Pluto retrograde is fucking things up these days. And after 15 years of being surpassing around Capricorn, Pluto is now in Aquarius and in retrograde. And it's time for reality checks. Yes. My first point of agenda today is going to start with acceptance, like human acceptance. How are we able to, you know, stop this it is what it is kind of agenda we're setting towards ourselves and put it into a more stable point? Like, instead of saying it is what it is, can't we say maktub? It was written. It's been done. It's destiny. It is, you know, because in a set of time, we as human beings tend to add a lot to what we know and not what we believe in. And it's more of a spectral sense of reality when people tend to fall for what they see rather than what they want to happen or what they envision. And it's a crisis I see that goes a lot stronger here in Lagos, because as much as I've done this social experiment for close to 2 years, I have realized that, yeah, my hometown or the hometown glory I was hoping for, I couldn't find it because I'm not popular here, which is really good. Which is really good, because I know the other cities I go to and people ask for my autographs, and I am happy about the fact that I've kept myself an anomaly here in Lagos. Because people here, like everywhere else in the world, follow what they see. And I really enjoyed it, because it's shown me how much the human experience is based on spatial or like spatial occurrences, or what we tend to love and what we already know. For example, last year I went on 86 dates. 86. My business manager basically made me to like look at my phones and like, what are you doing with your money? Like, I'm just seeing restaurants. I'm just seeing like spa dates. Like, why are we not investing this year? I was like, no, I'm not going to invest or anything. I just sold a beach house in Accra like 2 years ago, and I'm not thinking about doing the same thing again, like making the same mistakes. like using status symbols as a form of how would I call this, like it's a the flytrap system where, oh, I show you I have nice things so you can basically come closer to me. Nah, been there, done that. And I came back home to basically do the whole coming to America, Brooklyn, find a wife, Queens shit. But it didn't work out. And I would thank God for that, because I found out I was rushing myself towards this. But I made friends. I've been making friends, and that's a good key issue. And this is why I'm coming back to what, when he said it is what it is, and following nature and being maktub, you know, allowing destiny to fulfill itself through events and occurrences that stem line from just thought processes that come from the mind, instead of just instigating and pushing ourselves towards goals that are not realistic. And I tend to know that this is an occurrence in my life, because if I could go on 86 dates and not find somebody, it's not the people. It was actually me. And it wasn't that I was looking for stability or a wife or anything, but it was more about me finding myself through a way I never thought I would, through women. You know, like when a woman tells you, hey, you're not doing well, you're not chasing the standards, you're not following the status symbols, or you're not following the status quo, you get ginger, like, ah. I have to get my money up, I have to get my shit up. But the irony is that my money has always been up. And it's so funny that you would have to dress the part, play the part, you know, even though you're not happy. And my Buddhist friends would say, I would never call myself a Buddhist, even though I like no Buddhist tenets and co, but I would say this: suffering is life, dukkha. And everybody suffers. Every single person suffers. But the reality check is, how do you go around with your suffering? Like, how do you accept your suffering and evolve from it? It's like when you get a tap, right? I haven't gotten a tap yet because there's a kind of tattoo process I want to get to, and I have to go to Tokyo or New Zealand to do this. It's old traditional tattoo salons where they basically use it. They don't use a machine. They use, like, there's an artist that basically tats you manually without a machine and all that. Like, he's doing it step at a time. One stab at a time. And the trickle of the needle, according to the Japanese, culture and lore, is each strike of the needle reminds you that you're alive. And that pain that you feel is supposed to make you realize that suffering is very important for us to be able to find our personal legends or our personal goals. And as Wiz will always say, like, suffering doesn't kill you, man. Like, suffering will kill you. Even if you suffer, and you will die. However, you can suffer a lot mentally and be physically well. And I realized that a lot of people in Lagos have that mental suffering. Because you go clubbing, right? And you meet this really good people, you meet these guys, then 4 a.m., you're watching this tipped out person telling you he has a wife at home, but he's here in the club with his girls, and he's tired, and, you know, when he had no money, that she was there for him, and now he has money, he's living her back in the house to fend for the kids, and while he's just partying and giving an excuse that the club is a place where he works and he basically makes network that brings food to the family. And I asked my friends, hey, bro, like, dude, you're 40, I'm 32. Why are you still doing this? It's like, because I'm still a kid. I'm still a boy. And I'm like, yeah, we're all going to be boys. No matter what, the older we grow, we're still going to be boys. But it doesn't mean that a state of responsibility should be left behind. Like, I'm not married to kids. You are. You made the decision, you know? Like, I would love to, but I haven't found, you know, the kind of person I want to be with. And he's like, you need to compromise. You need to compromise, you know? You need to find... And I was like, okay, true. I should start doing this. And that's what put me in a spiral of dates. But the irony is this. After each conversation with different women, I can say sparehandedly that we have, like, Nigerian women actually have the best mindsets towards growth. However, most of them need therapy. Most of these girls need therapy and they don't know it. It's like you wake up in the morning, 4:30, you get a job. You have to get into a bus or you have to drive a car through traffic. You have to get to your office before 8 or 9 a.m. You'd have to go through a spiral of HR disillusions, people in the office making you feel smaller because they have a better life. And because the HR system of, like, Nigeria isn't, like, efficient enough to be able to, like, spirally tell people how to behave in an office. Hence, I don't like the corporate society. But the irony is that they still live long, go for lunch, act or play the part, get back in traffic by 5 p.m., get home, rest, binge watch maybe a show on Netflix, cry with ice cream when they can. If they're lucky enough, boyfriend, you know, stay. Hang out. Cool. But the irony is this. Each and every one of them I've talked to have something in common that's scary. They don't chase their dreams anymore. They talk about what they need, the necessities. And it's like, you know, I'm not looking for someone that's still growing. I'm looking for a done person. And you're like, I can understand that. The country is hard. Shit is popping. You ain't popping. You need someone that's literally doing stuff. But it's scary when this very independent women tend to literally carry a daddy issue syndrome of needing a man to literally put over his head, like, oh, this is our home. Like, fuck it. Like, I know so many nomads that are, like, in your 30s and your 40s. They're like, I don't need a man. I don't need a man. I don't need a man. But in each country they go to, they always have these guys there for them. Like, literally, big apartments, everything. And these girls are just, like, chilling, being mellow, going to the markets, you know. They don't have that disillusion that most of these girls here have. And it brought me to a very truthful fact. And it's painful, but I don't think I can see myself marrying a Nigerian person. And it was very painful for me to realize that, because obviously there's wealth. And my wealth is in my mind. I'm not gonna start buying a big ass car or a Lamborghini in a place where the roads are messed up. I'm not gonna try to live a big man life while there are people on the road literally begging me. And there's someone, once you give them money, they'll go give it to somebody else, and there's a system of, like, fuckery. Like, the whole situation of Nigeria has always been corrupt from day one. And it's not our fault. It is not the fault of the women. It's not the fault of the men. It's not the fault of the government. It is literally history fucking us up in our whole national kick asshole. And it's painful. Because you ask people, do you know anything about the slave trade? No. British people came here. Well, bang, you're wrong. The first people to actually come to do slave, like to sell us as slaves, were literally the Arabs. And they did that so efficiently that Islam was the first religion to come into the shores of like the so-called Nigerian populace. To be honest, we're so wide as a populace that we don't even know if Yoruba, Hausa, Igbo should be called Nigerian, because we're literally the black, the biggest black density on the whole fucking planet. 220 million plus people in one place. And the irony is this. Some of my friends, and we laugh about the fact that Indians and Lebanese people are in Nigeria. The Indians kept their culture from the British. They were not impacted by Arabians, obviously. But we were. We diminished our culture. We diminished everything for the sake of colonization. Until now, people are still believing, oh, Jesus walks. People are still on, oh, you know. But nobody talks about Ifa. Nobody talks about Amadioha. Nobody talks about the old religious. We can't even call it religion. It's fucking spirituality. But we're here dictating our lives based on another person's set of beliefs. That's not, that is literally not ours. For Christ's sake, Jesus is white. And I am Catholic. I was born Catholic. My friends will say, Chooks, you're a living paradox. You're living irony to your own self. Yes, I was born Catholic. I was confirmed in the Catholic Church. Received Holy Communion in the Catholic Church. I respect and honor Virgin Mary. And I believe in Christ. But the question is this. If I had the chance to clear all this, would I? Yes. But I don't. So I live in the state of delusion, understanding my own madness. There's a difference between when you don't understand your madness and you're living in it. Like when you're like in your shit and rappling in it. Or when you literally know you're in shit and you're taking tippy toes to get yourself out of shit. The dissolution that we go through as human beings is not futile. It's part of what is called a growth mind-up process. This process allows us as human beings to be able to believe in the most insane things, like, oh, moon landing. I'm not saying the moon landing wasn't real, but there's so many stories about it that just makes it look false. Or looking at the Bible and not understanding timeline. Or a man being in a relationship, being in an abusive relationship. Or a woman or a girl being in an abusive relationship, but because the guy buys her Cartier and earrings every day, and she has makeup to cover up her bruises, she stays. Delusion. Or a guy that goes on 86 dates hoping to find the one and still is single and looking at the madness of things. That decision is delusional, and it helps us to grow. I think why I'm having this short prep podcast before I start bringing everybody in again, is because there's a lot of pain that I've gone through, and it took me 48 hours to literally take myself into a state of mindfulness. It was hard because I first went to the beach. Like, I got home, I think I saw Guardians that night. Yeah. And my friend dropped me over and I walked back home. And literally, as I was going to the house, I just called my parents like, hey, I think I'm just going to go to the beach. I'll come back the next day. So I just, from there, just went to the beach, booked a hotel, picked a suite, some big suite, it was nice. Went to the beach, smoked some good pot, played some pool with some area guys there, beat the guys. The area father was looking at me like, you are the first person to beat me in the whole game. Wow, okay. Touché. He said, you have to pay your dues. And I just gave him like ₦1,000. But I sat down on the beach. I cried. I prayed. Talked to my ancestors. Talked to God the Father. Talked to the universe. Begged for guidance. Like, I was literally begging. Because, to be honest, I felt lost. I felt really lost because I thought I was going to come back home, you know, after all these years, like, yeah, and I'm just going to find that person. But it's not happening. And I think after talking to a lot of women here, I said, nah, I don't think I'm ready to date anybody that's still here. And I don't think I should spend my money and time on women here. And it's a painful reality because, you see, I watch my friends literally like call girls and they just like send, okay, how much do you need? 400K. Send it to their accounts. These girls rush here. They look all prepped up, but they don't have conversation. They just shut the fuck up. They're just there for the guy. And once he's like ready, they go back to his, you know, suite. Next morning, voila, done. And it's almost like, but you ask these people, where do you work? Oh, I work here. Oh, I work here. And you're like, you work. Like, you fucking work. Like, why are you making him treat you like this? And you don't say that to them, but you look at them like, you're not supposed to be a big girl or something. Because they drive themselves here to the spots. They look eloquent to the core. Like, they look like goddesses, but they're treated like shit. And to be honest, I thought that it was only like I thought like, oh, it's not a Nigerian thing. It's everywhere in the world. Ghanaian women are not like this. Senegalese women are not like this. They're not that submissive. And it's scary. It's scary that status symbols have become a way for men to charm their way into the hearts of women here. And I don't know why. It's like, this guy, obviously, yeah, he's a millionaire in dollars. Good. Yeah. He works in tech. Cool. But he's treating you like a dirtbag. And you work in a bank, like, you're a big person, like, why? And I just think it's a state of reality here. So, for my own personal baggage, which I know I have, I just think I'm not good enough for the women here. And I'm not gonna, like, try to be good enough for anybody, because, for Christ's sakes, love. Who said this? I think was it Big Sean that said it, or like Jeanette Aiko that said this thing about love. Basically, I'm not here to compete. I'm here to complete. And the L in the complete stands for love, right? And love stands for something else. Love stands for living on valued energy, you know? And life is love in full effect. Like, I'm living on valued energy for a life that's in full effect. And I'm not gonna diminish myself for anybody. And after this social experiment for close to, shit, how many? 19 months. Fuck. I'm so sorry, man. Like, it's not even Gen Z or anything. Like, yo, Gen Zs are reckless, but they know what they want. That, I respect them for that. Gen Zs, they know what they want. But if everything or love or value is seen by what's given and not what's earned, then I just think that it's time for me to basically flip the switch. Because you're not going to know. You can't know. Because I don't drive. I can't drive. I don't see the necessity to drive in a country like this. I can enter public transportation. I can listen to people's stories in this public transportation to understand the culture of the people. I can be able to adapt to a society because I'm not even white. Like, I'm black. Like, what else do you want? And I come from a stable home. I'm really lucky about that. I thank the universe every day for that. That I come from a home where my dad and my mom are still together. And I watch them. And I watched their bliss. I've even seen them in arguments and how they basically make... You know, from childhood, to be able to watch your parents critically analyze themselves and not make it look like a fight, that was what sarcasm did for me, because my parents are highly sarcastic. My mom's an academic, my dad's a broadcast media person. So when they're fighting, so-called, they don't shout at each other. They basically just throw jabs like... Okay, let me give an example. So one time... My dad was always coming late and was given the excuse that he was having the morning show to take care of a prep up. Then one day my mom basically tells him, you know, all these interns, they're going to get older one day and they won't be there for you when you're old. And you're tired and you're shriveled. And I didn't get the shriveled joke until I was older. But I was like, what? And it made me realize something, that my dad didn't even like, what do you mean by that? He just sighed and said, I understand how you feel, you know, because both of them, they had therapists. And I was lucky enough to understand like mental health from like childhood. And the irony is this. When you watch relationships here in Lagos, it's always like, yes, everyone is using everyone. And it's inevitable in life. We use each other. But the thing is, you realize that it's become a thing of taste to basically get something from someone for the fact that they're showing you that you're there for them. It's sickening. It is very sickening. Because I've been in a relationship with two women. I've been in a polyamorous relationship. They never asked me for anything. I gave out of the pure instance of the moment. Hey, we're traveling to Senegal. What do you guys need? Can I pay for the flight ticket? No, Raymond, we all pay for our tickets. You can pay for the Airbnb or the hotel, but we all pay for our tickets. Food, I'll take care of that. Vipka takes care of food. Leah takes care of transportation. You take care of our upkeep. We share responsibilities. And they did that for like 10 months with them before they went back to Germany. And they were my friends till now. Dated a Swede, same thing. Shared responsibilities. But doesn't mean that she doesn't get spoiled by me. Because I'm still Nigerian by heart. I really hope that our country should learn to really look at ourselves not as objects of affection, but subjects of love, of living on valued energy. Because, yeah, we're growing older. We're all gonna die. We need to be able to like find a way to sit down with each other and be like, yo, I don't know where I'm going. I would like someone to go on this journey with me. Could you show me how I'm moving? Because to be honest, I've lost hope in my country. This was a good episode to start the second quarter with, because I haven't done this in 2 years. I've done 30 minutes here. I think I'm good right now. But my point today is we as a population need to stop looking at ourselves as objects to affection. We should be subjects of love. Live on valued energy. Maktub. Thank you, Jenna Aiko, for the quote. Peace. Bali out. Love you all.